he and I had two spells together. One was that we had January of 76 and then February and March of 77. So that's how I got to know Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And February 77, we've come back from Bhubaneswar after he did the foundation stone, and then came back to Mayapur. And I, at that time, I was starting to feel that my time was up, you know, as a servant. I was making a few, like, small mistakes here and there, and being a bit less attentive than I should have been. And but at the same time, Prabhupada was getting sicker and sicker and sicker. And I realized in 77, February, when Tamal came, we had a discussion, and I told him, I said, I'm thinking about leaving the party.
You were speaking with Tamal Krishna?
Yeah. And, you know, he was, why? You know? And I told him, because I just, I'm at a year and a half, and I don't want to make any offences. I'm getting a little inattentive, and so I feel like I need to have a break. And he was coming in with the opposite mentality. He told me, he said, I spent 8 years out in the field preaching, because, you know, we all thought that that was the way to preach, please Prabhupada the best. But he said, now I feel very much that I want to just be with Prabhupada, whether he's here for one more year or 10 years. So I just want to be with Prabhupada physically, because I've never had that kind of, you know, chance to be with him on an extended basis. So we were, and I think I wrote in my diary that it seems to me that Prabhupada's changing his leela. And he's moving into Nirjana Bhajan. And therefore, I felt Krishna was inspiring me that you've had your time. Now go out and use what you've learned from Prabhupada. Do some preaching. And Tamal was getting the opposite.
Inspiration from within the heart by Krishna.
Yes. It was...
Actually, this leads into the specific reason why I came to see you, which is not such a pleasant thing, unfortunately. A few days ago, Maheshwar Prabhu, our god brother, wrote to you, and he sent me a copy also, because he's done all the work on debunking all this poison theory and all this, and I've been like encouraging him along the way and everything like that. So he wrote about Prabhupada's tooth, if you still have that, or what. I don't know if you replied to him. It's right there, yeah. Okay, so I'll reply when I get round to it.
Well, I did send a reply to
him. You did? Okay.
There's four or five teeth that I know about. I have one.
You have one?
Result of that. Mm-hmm. It's about Prabhupada gave that to me, isn't it?
You asked him, can I take it?
Yeah.
I remember you told him that. Like a very casual thing. The Buddha's tooth in Kandy in Sri Lanka.
Yeah.
That's like the major center of worship for the whole hardcore Buddhist country.
Yeah. Well, at one time I did actually. I told Balaram when he was in Melbourne, this was in the 80s, that if you build in that, you know, we got this 26,000 acre property, so we wanted to, you know, establish some kind of a temple and community there. And what was I going to say?
You're going to make a temple for Prabhupada's tooth?
Yeah, so I'd read about that.
There's a whole temple, and it's just
temple of the tooth.
Just, I don't know if that's the right word, but it's said to be Buddha's tooth.
Yes. So I thought, you know, we'll put him in a big temple. Somehow or another, that project didn't work out. But, I have I've got my tooth. Then there was one that Tamal Krishna Maharaj was wearing around his neck in the kabacha.
Where's that?
If you remind me, I'll give you the back story on that one. It's quite funny. But anyway, there was another tooth which I was told is installed underneath Prabhupada's deity in New Vrindavan, in the palace.
Oh, so that's...
Kirtananda actually apparently had a tooth which they installed the mortar there. Then there was, I won't say her name, but there's one of the ladies that was in India in the mid-70s. She apparently found one in Prabhupada's quarters. And I only found out about that about 3 or 4 years ago. I was staying at the manor and I got talking with her, and then she suddenly showed me she had Prabhupada's tooth hanging around her neck.
And you won't say her name for reasons unto yourself.
You know, she didn't want to advertise it. She's afraid that somebody will come.
That must be Moksha Lakshmi.
No.
Oh. Cleaning Prabhupada's room in Vrindavan. She's in
Bombay.
England.
In
Bombay.
Anyway.
Sarva Mangala.
No.
No! Oh, Shungash.
Anyway, she's got one. It's one at the Prabhupada's palace. I have this one. Krishna Maharaj wrote in his will that his Prabhupada's tooth was to be put into his samadhi. So,
which samadhi? Which samadhi?
Tamal Krishna Maharaj's.
So it's here?
Yes. Just you went walk past it on the way in. And was there another one? Me, Tamal, and I think that's it. The ones that I know of, anyway.
So that's four we're looking at. Yourself, and then Tamal Krishna Rajas is with.
I got the other one. That's right. It was when I was in LA in the early 90s. There was a German devotee there called Padma Garba. And
he's not there now. Anyway,
one evening I hear this banging on my door. So it was Padma. He said, "You know, you want to see what I've got?" And he came in, he had a box. In the box was a pair of Prabhupada's shoes. There was his cartels, which I had carried around the world with it, you know, with us. And one of Prabhupada's teeth.
Somehow he got them.
Well, I don't know where he got them from. Padma Garba bought them from a devotee. I think his name was Lalita now, who was living in the LA temple on the fringes. I don't know where he got the stuff from, but he was, you know, he wanted to sell it. So Padma Garba bought all these items for about $2,000.
Quite a lot of
the time. Yeah, I told him I would have spent $2,000 just to get the cartels. I got a tooth. But
oh, you bought the cartels from him?
No, I would have done, but he already sold them.
Oh,
I didn't get the chance.
Oh,
so Padma
shouldn't be sold
for them.
Anyway.
Padma, he bought them. Lalita Nath sold them.
To
Padma Garba,
who I met only once years ago in North Carolina.
Right. Well, I'm not sure whether he's still there or not.
He's alive. No.
He had some kind of tumor at one point. So I haven't seen any mention of him. But so that's all the teeth that I know about.
So much Puru collected for the museum in New York. What happened to all of that? Is it still there or?
Yeah, it's hard to say. He set up that museum, and
he was able to, you know, get devotees to surrender the artifacts that they had. And then, you know, of course, he left later on. So I heard that he kind of split his collection up. He had them on display in New York for some time.
Yeah, yeah.
Then when he left ISKCON, he took a lot of the stuff with him. But where it went, I don't know. Like he had, you know, Prabhupada's original.
And he's left this world altogether.
Oh, years ago, yeah. Mm. So there might be some, there may be some other one around somewhere. But yeah.
My Ishwar is interested in that tooth, I guess, especially maybe for chemical analysis or something.
Yeah. Which, you know, nobody's gonna surrender to that anymore.
Well, maybe, you know, just taking a little filing or something.
Well, at least with mine it's been encased in resin.
Oh, so it's not possible.
Yeah, and the one that Pamela Gabba bought, that's also in a resin block.
Mm-hmm. I guess they all would be.
Yeah, so... he was also asking about the hair, also.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Maheshwar. And there was actually some samples were sent to America. From two sources. The first source was
hair clippers.
Huh?
Hair clippers.
Was it? Yeah, it was the hair clippers, and I had a batch of hair that I had given to the Melbourne Temple. So when this whole poison thing came to the surface, then the GBC actually formed a committee headed by Balavanta to get, you know, some of the hair, get it tested. And
that was for arsenic at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when it was discovered that it wasn't arsenic poisoning, all of a sudden it became cadmium poisoning.
Well, yeah, not all of a sudden.
Well, it took them 20 years to come up with it.
Yeah, you have to find something. Which I haven't bothered reading the latest accusation because...
Well, they did make... Nityananda made a video, and then he goes through all this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and at the end of the video he says, and if anyone has any evidence, we'll give you $50,000.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just all confabulation.
Yeah, the GBC did reply that Devagora Hari from Brisbane, he wrote that book, Not That I Am Poisoned.
Right, for the arsenic thing, and then they dreamed up cadmium.
Yeah. Well, that was years ago, now this newer
and
one.
And Maheshwar has debunked that, the cadmium thing. You don't know about that? He wrote a whole book.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't bother reading.
You don't bother because, yeah. But the thing is, it does affect people. That's the thing.
Yeah, it does. Newer devotees.
Some, you know, some of them, most of them don't, they're not bothered, but they can be very disturbing.
Well, it has to be.
When someone comes out and says, we have proof that Prabhupada was poisoned by his own disciples, it's very disturbing.
Yeah.
They sound convincing, but then when you get into it, there's nothing there.
No, it's all smoke and mirrors.
But it does confuse people.
Yeah. Well, I was asked to see if we could get if there was any hair fragments in Vrindavan from that hair clipper. So I persuaded David Shakti to send some sample to Balavanta. Balavanta was asked by the GBC to get it tested and, you know, see if it fits with the theory or not. So after I sent the clippers, and I think there were some very small fragments of his hair, and there was some other stuff that we sent, maybe some clothing or something. Balavanta decided that because he didn't have anything personally of Prabhupada's, that he decided not to send back the stuff that he got from the Vrindavan quarters. And Divyashakti was really upset with me because I, acted as the intermediary. And then Balavanta, I don't know whether he sent something back. I'm not sure whether he sent everything back. But his report was very inconclusive. He did a very poor job, and it was just not, good enough, I don't think. And in Melbourne, I had given the Melbourne Temple a full set of cloth, socks, kurta, lungi, and I had some hair. So I persuaded Andy Ruder, the temple president in Melbourne, that, I'd given you this hair that I sampled that I had. I'd put it in, they've got Prabhupada's room there in Melbourne, so that it, I gave him the full kit. The hair was, there was quite a bit of hair actually, so I persuaded Andy Ruder to send it to somebody called Yudhisthira Das, who at the time, he had contacted me, and at the time I thought it was the Yudhisthira from Dallas, Tamal's disciple. And so I got some of the hair from the Melbourne temple and sent it to where it was supposed to go. And then he was supposed to return it after the testing was done. And he didn't do it. So over a period of a couple of years, I kept writing. And then he just suddenly, cut the communication and never bothered replying anymore. So for a few years, I kind of let it drop. Then later on, I'm just trying to think of the sequence, because this cadmium thing came up when they couldn't prove anything from it, from the arsenic, and the cadmium became the next focus. And I can't remember the circumstance, but somehow or another, this Yudhisthira, it turned out that he was actually Paranjan, and that he had impersonated me, he had impersonated
Yudhisthira,
and because he thought that if he revealed who he really was, we wouldn't, give him any of the hair, which is quite correct. But the guy's a liar, and I finally got this message from him just before he put out the cadmium theory book. I had some exchange with him.
That was Nitan put out the cadmium theory.
Well,
not Paranjan.
Okay.
But,
twin brothers. Anyway, the hair that let me see,
hair that Paranjan had, or that
Paranjan slash
Yudhisthira.
He admitted that he had kept the hair, and he also revealed who he really was. And there was somebody I was in correspondence with about 4 or 5 years ago, a tutor. I don't know, you probably wouldn't know him because he was from America and then he was in Australia and then he left. A tutor had picked up some information on the web, internet, and then that was being circulated. So I had a conversation with the tutor. He was kind of blooped out, very far gone. I told him, you know, I have another diary from 77, you know, the last 6 weeks in Brindavan, which is now published. But at that time, this is like 4 or 5 years ago, I had a long conversation with the tutor and I told him, you know, I've got this other diary from, you know, the last 6 weeks. And I said, apart from that, I mean, I was there for myself for the whole month of October. And he wanted me to old age affects your brain.
Seems Parkinson's also?
Yeah. That's what was it saying?
You were talking about a tutor?
Right. So a tutor was kind of pushing me a little bit. If you got the diary, then why don't you release it? So at that time I wasn't really back into doing any writing. But then a couple of years ago, when I retired from the management in the BRC, then I thought, well, okay, you know, I'll put this out.
It's very similar to TKG's diary, because the major events are the same, right?
Yes.
During that period.
Yeah, it's just a slightly different angle and appreciation. I think Pendra may have kept some notes, maybe not. Tamal Krishna Maharaj was keeping up his diary. I had my diary. I think it was somebody else.
And yours was supplemented by the...
Well, by Chiru Maharaj.
The recording, he put his book out also.
Right. So... Yeah, I mean, there is some repetition there. But it, you know...
Yeah, but it backs everything up, doesn't it?
Yes. So... Have you read this, the Cadmium report, or... Have you read that?
By Nityananda?
Yeah.
I saw that movie.
I haven't seen that movie.
I saw that movie. Maybe I saw the Cadmium Report, little bits and pieces, but how much do you want to read? It's all very technical. Even the rebuttal by Maheshwar, it's a lot of very technical stuff.
Yeah.
Such as there's no... How you? I never even heard of. When I heard of cadmium, I think of cadmium, watched that, and then I had to look it up. What even cadmium is?
Right.
And then just in before the age of the internet, how people have been in Krishna consciousness since their youth, and still youth, happen to know that there's such a thing as cadmium poisoning, and how to get it and how to administer it, and just the whole thing. Plus the fact there's no. How many people are cadmium poisoned? Even unintentionally, the whole thing is just it's so ridiculous that so unlikely. I mean, even apart from the fact that the whole thing rests on the disciples of Srila Prabhupada being extremely evil.
Well, yeah, I mean, we'd have to be schizophrenic to be able to.
Yeah. Extremely evil, and a lot of people saw in Tamal this very dominating side and all this and that. And he has his critics, there's no doubt. Even I remember Vindra Sarup said that you couldn't write a biography of him because too many controversies and this and that. But you can fill in the rest yourself. And it's just yeah. too much to say that they were deliberately conspiring to.
Well, on top of this, I don't know whether Bhakti Charaswami.
Yeah, I mean, you can. Tamal was a tough guy. There's no doubt, but Bhakti Charaswami.
Yeah, it's absurd.
Brahmananda was there. Brahmananda got a whiff of it. He'd have personally crushed everyone to death if he'd got even a whiff of any such thing, right?
Yeah. What was I going to say? During the last 6 months in India, Prabhupada said from April onwards, maybe up until the end of October, there must have been at least 5 or 6 doctors. Ayurvedic doctors, homeopathic doctors, allopathic doctors.
Two Ghoshes, right? There was one from Allahabad and one came up from South India.
Yeah.
And there was one local Bengali who was come allopathic doctor. He was in Vrindavan. And there were the astrologers.
Dr. Gopal, there was...
Dr. Gopal, he was the Bengali, yeah.
No, he was the local man.
Yeah, but he was Bengali, I believe.
I'd have to check it.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm probably right.
Yeah.
But as soon as we got back to Vrindavan, Dr. Gopal was brought in. Dr. Ghosh from Allahabad, Prabhupada's old friend,
yeah.
He came down. There was another Ghosh from Kodaikanal. He had come up briefly in the middle of the year, but couldn't do anything.
And then there was Venu Gopal or Venu Dhari or something. Beni Madhav. He was a Bengali Ayurvedic physician who Prabhupada had him called. Right. He's an old man. He was in Vrindavan. Bhakti Charaswami went to bring him. Beni Madhav, I think his name was.
Yes, something like that.
And then, of course, there was the Damodar Prasad.
Well, he was the final one.
He was the final one, and none of them...
He was expert.
None of them diagnosed any such thing.
Yeah, he came to Vrindavan and was there for the last couple of weeks.
What was his name? Damodar Prasad, was it something like that? Damodar something.
Damodar Prasad Shastri,
yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So he was a...
That's a major point, that none of them...
So none of those 6 or 7 different doctors, none of them saw any symptoms that made it seem like Prabhupada had been poisoned.
Yeah. There is that one thing, it's clear on the tape, Prabhupada says, Humko poisoned deer. But they've given me poison. That's there, clearly.
Right. But that depends.
That can mean they also. I believe that was some. I don't know. Maharshi set it up, but that can be with the that one medicine they gave that Mithu Sanjeevani, was it or something?
No. What's it called?
Some special medicine. But
some very strong, powerful medicine.
Yeah, but if it
Makaradwaj.
Makaradwaj, yeah.
Yeah.
But if it's not. In the right proportions, and it can act as a poison also.
Yeah, and Prabhupada said that, you know, if you've got no digestion and you try to eat,
that's also poison.
And, I mean, there is a direct statement from Prabhupada where he says, he's talking about this with Tamala or whoever, and he said, not that I am poisoned.
Right. That was the title of the rebuttal book.
Yes. So... I mean, this whole cadmium thing, I haven't got the details of it, but just the fact that there's so many doctors that, you know...
That in itself,
it just refutes anything that they can, you know...
Anyway, you're preaching to the choir here. Yes. I mean, I do have my differences of opinion with the leadership on some things, but it's... This isn't one of them. In fact, well, I do have a difference of why are they not promoting it, actually. They should, Maheshwar's work.
Yeah, it's a good question. And apparently last year, according to the latest emails, the GBC had asked, was it Maheshwar or somebody, I think it was Maheshwar, to look into the whole thing, which he did. And then apparently last year, for some reason or another, the GBC's just decided to drop it.
I believe they said they'll make a statement in due course of time, and then they didn't, but Maheshwar came out with everything that they need to make a statement.
Right.
And then, but they said, well, we decided we're not going to say anything about it, which then is used by the other side to see, to throw Maheshwar's work into the bin.
Yes.
Which is not understandable at all, because it's, he's done a very, very thorough job, every possible angle.
Yes.
Spent a lot of time and energy. And he wants to get into the whole rhythmic thing, but he's discouraged now. But I'm encouraged. Anyway, do it, because even if the GBC don't support it, it's there. It's the facts speak for themselves.
Yeah. Anyway, it's just another GBC.
Inconceivable action. Let's be polite. Yeah.
Well, yeah, the whole thing is motivated by envy, that's all. The GBC made some mistakes in the early days, and these people became.
Yeah. Even the whole rhythmic thing, it was. You have an idea and you create a philosophy afterwards.
Yes.
Because no one had dreamed of it until a few years after Prabhupada left.
Yeah, the poison thing.
That also.
That came out, what, at the end of the 80s?
Yeah.
So
it'll go on. It'll go on. Yeah. They say there are different theories about Jesus also, so many different theories.
Yes.
Hundreds of theories about Jesus.
That's why I think Tom Krishnamaraj was, brought in as the permanent secretary, because he's one of the few people in ISKCON that was tough enough to withstand all this criticism and, blame game.
I don't follow that exactly.
After Prabhupada's departure.
But you mean Prabhupada brought him in because, or Krishna brought him in?
Krishna brought him in, that's what I think. Tamal was probably the one person who could take that kind of, without going mad.
Yeah, you'd be very, very angry to say that you poisoned your spiritual master.
Yeah.
I spoke to Bhakti Charaswami about it, actually. It was not long before he left. I said, why aren't the GBC on this? Because it's causing disturbance. And then he laughed and said, look, now Talal Krishna has left, I'm the main accused. And he didn't seem to take it. I was surprised.
Yeah.
He didn't seem to.
Well, we've been dealing with it for years.
Yeah, I guess.
It just becomes tiresome. He's got something wrong with him. And Paranjan still told the same. He's got his so-called PADA newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
They're just very, very envious people. And it doesn't matter how many times you knock down a theory, then they'll come up with a new one.
And it'll go on. Yeah. Like I said about Jesus, there are hundreds of theories about all those kinds of different things.
And Maheshwar himself, he said it took him 3 years to just plow through all this stuff.
All the stuff they put out.
Yeah.
Actually, I did read their book. No, I skim read through it, the cadmium thing. There's a whole huge section about how Napoleon was said to be poisoned. It's got absolutely
whether he was or not has well, got absolutely fast. No relevance whatsoever.
Well, he used that to back up some statements he'd made about arsenic poisoning and what were the symptoms, and he compared it, I think, to Napoleon.
It
was said that Napoleon...
No, I think it was in the Cadmium book also.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, it's probably reiterating some
just
stuff.
Yeah, it's got no relevance to... Whatever happened to the body, there's no relevance. And he gave a list of so many people who had been poisoned by their close associates in history. As if it's compelling evidence.
Yeah. And apart from that, anyway, I mean, thinking about Napoleon, arsenic poisoning has some very clear symptoms and manifestations in the body. You know, your fingernails go black and so many things. None of which Prabhupada had.
Mm.
So he had to, you know, search to find more evidence to back up what he was saying. The cadmium one is... I haven't even seen the book. And I haven't read anything on the internet about it either.
No, I'm concerned because I get queries from devotees who are disturbed.
Yeah, it's bound to put some doubts in their minds.
Yeah. Because I do speak about various issues related to Prabhupada and the movement and this and that, which... some devotees appreciate that I actually speak about the issues. I try to give an objective view of this and that. But maybe for that reason I get queries like this. What's going on? Can you say something about this? So, there are devotees who are disturbed. And it'll go on. At one time, came in the Indian press. The section of the Indian press was pushing that, you might have seen. This is years ago.
Yeah, some TV show.
Yeah.
South India somewhere, I think.
The Indian public tend to be very generous with sadhus. But once it's seen that they're not really a sadhu at all, then they really don't like it. They lose their credibility.
Newspapers, TV shows, you read them, you throw the paper away, you know.
Well, it has this influence, just like there's this Nityananda Paramahamsa in South India, and he was exposed as being just a mundane person dancing with young girls. He lost most of his following, but he's going on, still people follow him.
Yeah. Sai Baba.
Well, he lost a lot of his credibility with the pedophilia.
Yeah.
Revelations.
Yeah.
The sheen he had, a lot of it was worn off because of that.
Well, there's a book by some professor in America about Ramakrishna.
Right, but that hasn't affected the Indian public.
Well, it hasn't because the government suppressed it.
Jeffrey, something or other. Kali's Child, I think.
Yes, right, Kali's Child. And in there he says very clear that he was abusing young boys. And when the Bengal government saw that, they immediately...
Jeffrey Archer, was it? Something like that.
No, not Archer. Mm-hmm. I forget his name now. Some professor or something. Ravindra Shrimp knows the guy. He knows. So they just... Yeah, in India they have this kind of mentality that no matter what happens, like it's some kind of Leela or...
Well, Ramakrishna is too popular, but it was in Haryana that the Ram Rahim, some guru, they put him in prison. And the BJP was in power at the centre and in Haryana at the time, and he was supporting the BJP. But I don't know what there must be some politics behind it, but they stuck him in prison. So it's difficult to understand. There was a book written years ago, it's in Urdu, and it's pointing out the defects of Hazrat Muhammad, peace be upon him, and that's banned by the Indian. It's a censored book. It's, people don't even know it exists. I just looked it up when I was looking up censored books at a time when my book was more or less being censored. And you told me, to my surprise, that even your book was censored.
Because at that time the Narayan Maharaj clique was just developing, and then I just put out whatever happened, and then they flipped out because it was putting certain people in the Gaudiya mat in a bad light, so that their mood was that the war is over, so we should cooperate with the Gaudiya mat. And
yeah. But anyway, Satyameva Jayate worked out in the end.
Yeah, I mean, the first volume, when I put it out, as soon as certain people saw, you know, these negative comments that Prabhupada made about his god brothers.
A lot of heavy comments.
Then,
a lot of heavy comments. But I also feel, in general, that the war is over.
Yeah, well, it is. No. Because there's none of the god brothers left.
Yeah.
You know. Their gurus are all younger than our gurus.
Yeah, and they're mostly very appreciative also.
And, you know, you can... There's nothing wrong with being frank, as long as it's objective.
Mm.
And I always go on, you know, work on the basis that, you know, this is... it's not an opinion, it's actual factual information.
Try not to put a slant on it, although it's to be absolutely 100% objective is probably not possible for humans, but as you saw it, as you perceived it.
Yeah, that's clear. Anyway, I mean, we've got good relationships now with most of the...
Yeah.
At least the main Gaudiya Acharyas here in Mayapur.
Yeah.
And you know, people like Bodhayan Maharaj, she's very friendly. So things have improved a lot, but those things happened.
Yeah.
And if we're going to be write history, I got a letter from somebody in America after Pushyakrishna died.
Mm.
So he had 4 months on Prabhupada's party when I was on it, and then he, you know, fell down. He had his problems and whatever, and he actually wrote a letter to me, Pushyakrishna.
When?
A few years back, complaining that because a new volume had just come out. I think it's probably 2005 or something, and. You know, there were some things that had happened with him and Prabhupada.
Mm.
And so apparently his widow, I was told, she was thinking about bringing a court case against me for, you know, some of the comments that I made about Pushyakrishna. And he wrote to me. And I told him,
Wait, we're getting a bit mixed up in time, because you're talking about his widow, but prior to that he'd written to you.
I just told him, you know, if you don't put it in, then you're modifying its history, its lessons to be learned from all of this. If I don't put it in, where do I, you know, all right. It's like a bit like...
We don't see the real full Prabhupada, do we?
No, you don't. You get a sugar-coated version of it.
Mm.
And So he was always upset with me for publishing something that actually happened. So I told him, you know, what do you want? Do you want the truth? Or do you want to pretend that you weren't there? In which case, you know, where do you finish? Like,
then half your book is gone.
Well, not just that.
But I mean, if you want to leave out all the less palatable stuff,
yeah.
A lot of your book is gone, and a lot of who Prabhupada is lost also.
Yes, that's the point.
Because he was dealing with these things all the time.
Yeah. And my intention was to show how Prabhupada dealt with various situations.
Which is a very, very important part of seeing the Acharya.
Yes.
How he is and who
it's
he is.
It's not a hagiography. Mm. It's just an attempt to be, you know, as frank and objective as possible.
Without digging in the spear.
Yeah.
Just like that. Yeah.
I wanted to show the reader at least enough so that they could understand what was going on. Otherwise, like with Madhavisa, he had problems. And there was more than one woman involved. You know, there's Prabhupada's reaction when he found out that Tamal Krishna Maharaj had Pushta Krishna and put out something to all the temples that he was having, Madhavisa was having difficulty. Then Prabhupada, Pushta Krishna reported to Prabhupada that he'd rung up all the temples and Madhavisa's zone, and you know, warned them to watch out. They were thinking maybe something in New York. They were thinking that maybe he tried to take a vehicle or you know some money and whatever. So when Pushta Krishna went in back into Prabhupada's room, and he told Prabhupada what he'd done. In informing all Madhavisa's temples. I heard Prabhupada shout. I was further down the hallway. I jumped up and came into the room, and then Prabhupada was, he was furious. I don't recall seeing him ever be as angry as that.
Wow.
When he found out that they put the word out. Later on, I had a good discussion with, this is like in the early 90s, I had a good discussion with Pushta Krishna about that whole episode. And he told me, very frankly, he said that when he went in and told Prabhupada about the, what he'd done in ringing up the temples and everything, Prabhupada yelled at him. He said, "You murderer!" I mean, he really blasted him. And just Pushta Krishna, many years later, in the early 90s, I happened to be, I had to ring him for some stuff for Korma's book. And so he took me to task on what I'd written about, his dealings with Prabhupada Pushta Krishna. And he told me, he said, when I went into Prabhupada's room and he yelled at me, "You murderer," he said that put a crack in my heart. And after he left, first the party, after a couple of months, then he left his duties in ISKCON. He told me that chastisement that he got, it made a doubt in his relationship with Prabhupada. He said, "I accept that Prabhupada is, pure devotee, but I do think that he didn't know how to deal with his Western disciples because he was from a social..."
And he told you that years later?
Yes.
And he still maintained that thought?
No, well, what happened was that I thought this, I should talk to him. So we had a long discussion, maybe about an hour. it was the first time that he had told anybody, including his wife, that he had this crack in his relationship with Prabhupada.
Mm.
And so I just preached to him. I told him Prabhupada Guru. We
and he was maintaining that up to that time.
Yeah. This is like 1990s.
Even though he'd been back in Krishna consciousness with Govinda Maharaj and everything.
Yes. So that was all going on, but he had not dealt with this doubt that he had in the way that Prabhupada had dealt with him in 76 when we were in Hawaii. So he'd been carrying this weight around with him.
Mm.
And so I preached to him, basically, and told him Prabhupada can do whatever he likes. He's our guru, he's our complete shelter. If he wanted to shout over you, you should take that. That's a good thing. And get you out of Maya. And anyway, we had a long talk about
extremely
it.
Heavy, call him a murderer.
Yes.
No doubt.
Yeah.
But Prabhupada, he would chastise those those who he thought could take it.
Yes, well, that's another point.
The people he was most heavy with was Tamal and Harikesh, right?
Yeah.
They could take
Tamal going to China and Harikesh being kicked back to Eastern Europe. But, we pushed to Krishna. I went over the whole thing with him. A couple of years later, I was here in Mayapur. I'd just come out of the temple into the courtyard there. And Pushta Krishna was there with his wife, and I guess they had some kid. And he was all bright and, pally. And he said, you'll be glad to know that I've managed to repair my relationship with Prabhupada. So that was his motivation for that, was what I told him.
That, okay.
Prabhupada has not done anything. There's no fault in Prabhupada in chastising one of his disciples. And you are making a judgment about your own spiritual master in terms of his competency, which you can't do. So he listened to it. And so middle of the 90s when he came here, he told me that he managed to deal with that chastisement and just the feelings that he had against Prabhupada he thought Prabhupada overdid it. He could have been nicer in his response.
I must say that I'm in the middle of compiling a major book on Srila Prabhupada and everything, the mood and mission of Srila Prabhupada, starting off with his, not going through the history much, because that's in the Leelamrita and other books, but the position of Srila Prabhupada as seen by himself and others, by about 6,000 quotes from Prabhupada and from others also. Thomas Hopkins, I quote him a lot. He was great, the things he said. So anyway, I'm not sure whether I'm going to include them or not. I think I probably will, but there's a large section is Prabhupada's dealings with his wayward disciples. That's the way I put it, wayward disciples. And the two case histories I want to put. One I've done is Siddha Swarup. It's not as complete as it could be.
Right.
It's like an overview. And of course, I'm taking from various sources the conversations, and then there's The Life with the Perfect Master by Satsrup Maharaj. There's a lot of stuff in there.
Mm.
And then there's a book by one Mataji in New Zealand, and this and that. So there are a few sources. And your book, of course.
Yeah.
I mostly quote Satsrup Maharaj, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and yourself. You three, obviously, are quoted more than others.
Right.
So it's hard to understand why Srila Prabhupada dealt with it in that way. He dealt with people very differently, because he was causing so many problems.
Yes.
And sometimes Prabhupada say yes, he's deviant. One time Siddha in Prabhupada's presence say, oh, I'm just offensive, and Prabhupada said, oh, so you're accepted. But he kept on encouraging him, and despite everything, it's very hard to understand.
Well, Prabhupada did time in Vrindavan, Arjuna and Tot, the Maupaha, they'd been on the Namahata party and they wanted to open up a centre in the Philippines. Siddha Swarupa had this Sadama Vipra, so-called sannyasi, who was a nothing more than a gunda. And Prabhupada knew that. Prabhupada actually told us, he said, they're not in our line.
Yeah, and he also said Prabhupada said, they like to give donations. Something humorous, Prabhupada said.
Yes.
But at the same time, he was encouraging, and the last exchange he had with him was very encouraging also. So, I mean, I'm just giving that as one example, how Srila Prabhupada dealt with different people in very different ways. With Kirtananda, he was, from the very beginning, he was, you know, the whole history there. But then he accepted him back with full honor and respect and backed up his project. And he liked Kirtananda.
Yes.
He liked him. And but then when you see Kanupriya and Jamadagni, he just didn't even want to talk to them. And they had what you might say some valid concerns also, but he was just...
Right. Well, Jamadagni, the following year, in 76, he wrote to Prabhupada and apologized.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And Prabhupada replied and said, yeah, that's all right, now go on with your service.
Oh, really? Is it? Yeah.
It's somewhere in that 1 month in Hawaii.
Oh. Let me write that down.
But Kanupriya never apologized.
But later on, they both went off anyway, completely.
Yeah, at least Jamadagni had some respect for Prabhupada. But Kanupriya, it was just...
And recently, there was one book put out by Daughters of Prabhupada or something like that, and Kanupriya's wife, Chaitanya Dasi, she said, she writes how my husband just went off and this and that.
Yeah,
she's very straightforward about it. Yeah. But to me it's inconceivable how Srila Prabhupada dealt with different people. I can't work it out with my tiny brain.
Yeah, well, you know, like 76, Prabhupada gave sannyas to, I think, 9 devotees. The same year, 8 or 9 sannyasis fell down.
Hmm.
And still Prabhupada went on. He had his methodology, if you like, and he had this tremendous compassion, so that even if they, you know, given the circumstances that Krishna consciousness was just beginning, he had to do so many radical things to get it.
Prabhupada Swami, I always call him Prabhupada Swami. I just can't get used to him. After so many years, he told me that Prabhupada had said, I never heard any verification, maybe you could say, that someone would ask him why he's giving sannyas to young men. He's something like, when this, you have to cook the sabji before, when it's ready, and not, otherwise it's too old, or something like that. I can't remember. When it's just ready, then you cook it, otherwise it goes off, something like that. I have to ask him again. I don't know where he got it from. You know, something like that. Yeah, it's...
Well, again, in the way Tamal had come to make his report about going to China, Drishtadyumna was with him. Drishtadyumna said this on a video.
Battlefield commission.
Yes, battlefield commission.
Right, right. None of you are qualified, but it's a battlefield commission. Yeah. That makes sense.
And somebody may get through or not, but... Yeah. Prabhupada knew what he was doing. Mm. I mean, like the thing with China. I mean, after, you know, the explosion there in Mayapur in the festival, and it was going on for weeks back and forth till Prabhupada finally, you know, stopped it, the debate, and Tamal was sent to China. 2 months later, Tamal turns up in Hawaii with Drista Jumna. They'd done a really thorough job.
Sick. Dossier.
Yeah. A reportage. And Prabhupada was just like, he just dismissed it. That's all right, don't worry about that now. I mean, it was clear to me that Prabhupada had, you know, in Mayapur, when he sent him to China, he did want some preaching to go on in China, but he didn't regard it as being important. At that point, what was important was to get Kamal Krishna Maharaj out of America.
Isn't that amazing? Considering, I mean, the huge, huge book histories making devotees.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Huh? It's like, yes, Vaishnava Kriya Mudra Vigayana Bhujari. And then the ultimate result is that Tamal did start up China, and now it's going on with hundreds and thousands of devotees.
Well, you know, after he and Drista Jumna had been given the China mission.
Right, and 2 months later, then, yeah, Prabhupada just, you know, said
he just dismissed it. That's not important. And Tamal ended up getting more territory in America than he had before. Because they put it, Madhavisa.
Right, New York, so Gita Nagari.
All that northeast block there.
Prime spots.
Yeah.
The iconic.
Rather than the new 11-story building in Manhattan.
Anyway, people will be writing about Prabhupada.
Yes.
Generations.
Hopefully.
Prabhu. Okay. I'm going to take your leave.
I should do it because I'm on a busy schedule here. I shouldn't.
How long are you staying?
Till Tuesday.
Oh, so after Nisringa Chitur to see.
Yeah, yeah. One more day and then.
Very good.
I'll forget. I came specifically with that tooth query, but I knew there'd be some.
Have you seen the tooth?
I have, but not this time.
All right, well, we'll give him the
brief. All right, everyone can have darshan and shiva about the tooth. Why don't you have the teeth?
Jai.
Haribo.
I'd like to be eaten by Prabhupada. Can I put on everyone's head?
Yes. That's a lower left canine.
Reminds me of Vrindavan, the disappearance day. The Anyone else? Madhu Kanta?
Yeah, I'm good. Again.
Again? Okay, very intelligent. Haribo.
This deity of Prabhupada was given to me by Indra.
Oh.
In
89.
I got some...
Mercy comes to you with that's called a high tuki kripa. You don't even look for it and it just comes.
I just started getting the feeling I wanted to start doing regular puja every day.
And then Prabhupada came.
And I looked around here for one day. There was no nice mortis of Prabhupada. So I went to Vrindavan. And then I went up into the Gurukul, and I saw Indra there. I didn't go up there to see him, actually. I was looking for Burijan. But since he was there, we got chatting. And then I thought, he would know where to get a nice deity of Prabhupada. So, what his altar was like, right? And there was some sackcloth hanging over one of the shelves at the side.
Ah.
And he puts his hand behind the sackcloth and pulls out this multi of Prabhupada. He said, somebody gave them to me. I'm not
I already have Prabhupada in my altar, so you can ask him. So, which is Krishna comes when he wants to come.
Right. Maybe you don't all even know who all of you are here. The Harishoy Prabhu was Srila Prabhupada's personal servant for 2.5 years.
Nice guy.
And he's written extensive books about that. I don't know if you even know. The service of being with Prabhupada is a huge service, and in writing the books is from my whatever you want to call it subjective point of view at least as important.
Very important. When we're all gone, which is just going to be in a couple of years' time. The only thing that will leave is the books.
Talking about leaving?
Okay, Lawrence.
Not way.
Come on. You're still quite strong, huh?
All right. Thank you all for coming.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Jai Prabhupada. Mm-hmm.
Anybody here from Salem? No. I was down there a year and a half ago.
Right, right. They very much appreciate your visit. They're looking forward to going there again.
Yeah, let's see how we go. In the house.
Okay. You're kind of from Salem. You've been in it, but you haven't been there for some time.
Mm-hmm.
You were there for 4 or 5 years?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. He's Bengali. Kind of. He's Pan-Indian.
Parents are there.
He's an army boy, which means... Yeah, he was raised by army parents, which means all over India.
You can bless us, Prabhuji. We can also serve our Guru Maharaj like you served Srila Prabhupada.
No one can serve like Hari Shaktar. No, blame to you, but the way Hari Shaktar will serve Prabhupada is...
I have to stand here and tolerate all this. All right.
Hari Bol. Jai.